Louis Napoleon, however, from this point on in the spring of 1849, began a campaign to establish his own organization, to mobilize his supporters, a gradual, politically astute campaign that would last really over 3 years. He placed supporters in key military, governmental, and political positions. The use of patronage was hardly a new departure in politics, but he was very astute in doing this. Louis Napoleon became what one might call the first modern political campaigner. It was Louis Napoleon who would introduce the head of state as a kind of public figure appearing at all sorts of public occasions. He made frequent public appearances at parades, on national holidays, at the public openings of railroads, bridges, and so on. He was a champion of cutting ribbons to open these sorts of things. In other words, he made himself visible. And all around the country sought to create a network of supporters loyal to him. He also courted very assiduously the support of financial and industrial interests in France. He provided government support for industrial development. Railway expansion in France was largely spurred by state investment. There was a great expansion of credit under Louis Napoleon, which was important not only for those people interested in beginning larger economic enterprises, industrial ones, but also for farmers, making credit easy for farmers. He won the support of the peasants in this way. He also won a great deal of support from the peasantry of France in 1849 by dispatching French troops to Rome to restore the Pope, who had been pushed aside by the establishment of a radical Roman Republic by Mazzini in 1849, and French troops would remain at the Vatican to protect the Pope after 1849. This played very well with the French peasantry. By 1851, Louis Napoleon's position was so strong that he dismissed the Orleanist cabinet and replaced it by one loyal to himself. He also placed supporters in charge of the military units around Paris and as head of the Paris police and the Ministry of the Interior. The assembly, still dominated by royalists, overplayed their hand at this point, fearing Louis Napoleon's wide support. They amended the Constitution, reduced the franchise, and imposed restrictions on freedom of the press. Louis Napoleon didn't immediately challenge the monarchists on this, but in May of 1851, he went public with a proposal to restore universal male suffrage, a play for liberal and even Republican support. The monarchists in the chamber rejected it, and also refused to revise the Constitution to allow Louis Napoleon to run for a new term in December of 1852. So on December 2nd, 1851, the anniversary of the great Napoleon's coronation and also his victory at Austerlitz, troops loyal to Louis Napoleon marched into Paris, occupied the city, dissolved the legislature. Placards announced that the president was restoring universal male suffrage and would alter the Constitution with the people's approval. In other words, there would be a plebiscite. There followed a ruthless repression of Louis Napoleon's enemies. Over 100,000 were arrested, imprisoned, or exiled. And a plebiscite was held to approve this coup d'etat and to grant the president the right to draft a new constitution, which he proceeded to do. In Louis Napoleon's new state, a Senate would be appointed by the president. There would be a legislative body elected by universal male suffrage. There would be a council of state to advise the president. Despite these trappings of public involvement in politics, Louis Napoleon was essentially a dictator. Not a tyrant with certainly public support, there would be no public debate in the early years of his new reign, and power was concentrated in his hands. And yet,